tell us something about from Sheikh Al-Buti's cures of anxiety.
Alhamdulillah. So in the book that is, I think is well known now, the book, we call the translation, depression and anxiety, because they go together. They go together, they're hand in hand. And every time the Imam mentioned in the series, every time he mentioned depression, he mentioned anxiety as well. And he mentioned psychological unrest. Mm-hmm. The cure, like with depression, is that you have to understand where anxiety and depression and psychological unrest and whatever else it is, where does it reside? It resides in the heart. And your heart is not in your hands, it's in Allah's hands. Mm-hmm. So the cure is always, in every single moment, to turn to Allah. And Allah says, in is the ayah that he quotes again and again, in Surah Al-Ra'd, 13th chapter, verse 28, Allah says, "Ala bi dhikri lahi tatma'innul qulub." It is only by the remembrance of Allah that the hearts find peace and find tranquility. So what this boils down to is that whatever you're anxious about, you have to pull back from the world itself, in the sense that you cannot let your happiness or your sadness be dependent on the world. Your happiness and your sadness has to be rested in Allah. And this is why in the book he gives the story of the great Imam from the first generations, Ibrahim ibn Adham, one of the great Sufis, who said that if the kings knew the happiness that we had, they would fight us for it. They would pick up swords and fight us for it. And the point is, outwardly, you can't tell what this is. Outwardly, because you see he's an impoverished state. He doesn't have a fancy house or anything that we would see as material wealth. But the key here is that this person, Ibrahim ibn Adham, and the awliya like him, is that their happiness is centered in Allah. Their happiness is rooted in Allah and the relationship with Allah and the dhikr of Allah. And therefore, it's not subject to what's happening in the world. It's not subject to people's praise, people's blame, people's censure, the vicissitudes of the stock market, whatever it is. It's rooted there with what Allah is. And you stay in that state. One stays in that state by staying in a state of dhikr, a state of remembrance of Allah, and always, always, always linking every single incident that one is going through, every single situation that one is in, one links it back to Allah. And this is why the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us all these adhkar. When you wake up in the morning, when you go to the bathroom, when you leave the bathroom, when you start a meal, when you finish a meal, when you leave your house, when you come home, so on and so on. There's so many du'as and adhkar you're supposed to say. Why? Because you're always bringing every single activity that you're doing back to Allah. And remembering Allah. And to take it further, because I was going over this with some students, we just completed a course, alhamdulillah, in the UK, an online course called Healing with the Quran, with a good group of students, mashallah, high uptake, mashallah. And one of the things that we discussed was a beautiful hadith. And this is when we think about the benefits of dhikr. The benefits of dhikr. There's a beautiful hadith in the collection of Imam Ibn Majah, where the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that every day Allah has a sadaqah. Allah gives a sadaqah to his slaves by day and by night. But then he said, but there's nothing like that. I mean, there's no sadaqah like, there's nothing like Allah is when Allah inspires his slave to remember him. That's the greatest sadaqah. When you ponder on that, you realize that yes, Allah commands you in Surah Al-Baqarah, "Fadhkuruni yadhkurkum," right? Baqarah 151. "Fadhkuruni," remember me and I'll remember you. But you don't remember Allah unless Allah remembered you first.
SubhanAllah.
Right?
Profound.
Yeah. And I remember when I was going over this hadith with some students, they said, well, SubhanAllah, why aren't we just ecstatic? Why aren't we just jumping up and down for joy? Because you realize that every single time you do dhikr of Allah, it's because Allah is putting it in you. So where is this thing? Where is the anxiety coming from? Where is it coming from? What's the reason for it? Every situation you're in, it's Allah who's pushing you to remember Him, right? It's this famous story I always put. It's well inserted that Imam Al-Buti quotes many, many times, and we put on Instagram again a few days ago. You know, people looking for cures for the heart and cures for anxiety, and they look for signs of Allah's love. Right, so there's the famous story where this lady, a servant girl in Damascus, where she would pray tahajjud, And one night, the master of the house, he got up and he heard her praying, and he heard her in dua. She was in dua, making sujood, and she was saying, "Oh Allah, by your love for me, grant such and such, grant such and such. By your love for me, grant such and such, grant such and such." And the master of the house, he thought this was a bit presumptuous, you know, like, where, what, like, who are you to say, like, well, Allah loves me and so forth. Who are you to make this claim? So he asked her about it afterwards. And she said, "Well, I know that Allah loves me because he woke me up at this hour.
Subhanallah al-Azim.
I know that Allah loves me because he made me stand in front of him. I know that Allah loves me because he allows me to make these dua to him. That's why I know Allah loves me." So we have to use the Americanism, flip the script. you have to flip it around and see Allah's love for you in the things that you're doing. Boil it down. You don't do any action. You don't do any righteous action, any sort of dhikr, any sort of prayer, any good deed, unless Allah put that in you. Allah facilitated that for you. And these are signs that Allah loves you. These are signs, again, it's not just the fundamental things. But one of the things we covered as well in this course, and it's in the book, this idea of, again, common thing about people who have spent many years like away from Allah, and then they change their ways afterwards. They change their ways and they reform themselves. And then Shaitan tries to mess with them and say, "You know, what's the point? You were sinning for so many years and you were off the path for so many years, and why would Allah forgive you?" And so on and so forth. But the response to that is, well, if Allah didn't love you, he wouldn't have changed you.
SubhanAllah.
If Allah didn't love you, he wouldn't have put that in you. He wouldn't have guided you back. So what is it for us to do? Well, you have to repay that love with love. You can see all these signs that Allah loves you. Well, repay that love with love. And you do that with the dhikr, and you do that with dhikr of Allah, and you obey Allah, and that's what shukr is. Like gratitude is a huge part of this. Right? Because Allah says in Surah Ibrahim, ayah 8, "Lin shakartum lazidannakum," right? If you're grateful, I will increase you. So, gratitude is not just on the tongue. It's not just alhamdulillah wa nashkuru, but it is that you use every single blessing that Allah has given you to please Him. You take every single blessing that Allah has given you to please Him. So if Allah has given you to sight, well, use that to please Allah. Use that to look at what Allah is pleased with. Use that to look at the Quran, to look at the books of Ilm, to look at the righteous, to spend time with the righteous people. Use it for that. The same with your ears, same with your mouth. Whatever it is, whatever blessing Allah has given you, use that to please Allah. Use it for what Allah is pleased with. So all of these things will remove this anxiety, because you have to remember that it's Allah who's in control of this. You know, human beings, we get a bit too presumptuous about our own powers and our own need or how important we are, right? It's like, I remember reading about, you know, there was some Aboriginal people, and they had this belief. They had this belief that it was their job to guide the sun through the sky. So they wake up in the morning and be like,
Ajib.
it's the sun's gonna move regardless of what you do. Super. So you have to submit. You have to give in. Realize, like, what's the point of being anxious? It's not gonna do anything for you. And you also have to tell yourself that Allah knows what's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Allah knows what's good. You think you know what's good, right? Like again, Surah Al-Baqarah 2:16. Maybe you love something that's bad for you. Maybe mm-hmm. you dislike something and it's good for you. And you have to realize, you have to tell yourself, like, when something comes up and maybe causes you anxiety, maybe it causes you a problem, it makes you feel this worry or this stress, you have to tell yourself there's a wisdom behind this. There's a wisdom behind that. And I can't see it now, but Allah will show me eventually.
Mm-hmm.
You tell yourself that, and it just works every time. It just works. Seriously, it just works every time. You just tell yourself, there's a reason why this is happening. And then you can be like, okay, there's something I can't see, but you will see. You will see, and you'll thank Allah afterwards. Like, oh, that's a reason why.
SubhanAllah.